Hello, I'm Dawn Ireland, President of CDH International, and this is the CDH Radio Show. Welcome back after our summer hiatus. We are so happy to be back, and we've got a special treat for you this week. We are not interviewing a CDH patient family, even though we love to do that. We love to share the stories of these children and these surviving adults and their journey with congenital diaphragmatic hernia. But this week, we are joined by Jeff Lord from My Rare ID. We are teaming up with My Rare ID to bring you an incredible new product for patients, not just CDH patients, for all patients. You can now keep track of your medical records, your child's medical records, in an easy one-stop online place, and then use QR codes to be able to tap into that in any emergency situation. So if you're at the hospital, your child's at school, and the school nurse needs to know what's going on, if heaven forbid you're in an accident or away from your child and you can't tell the medical team what is going on with your child, they can look at the QR code and know everything they need to know within seconds. And that is going to include so much. Jeff's going to tell you all about it. We're so excited to team up with them. Tracy, take it away.
Hi, today I'm here with Jeff Lord with My Rare ID. Jeff, welcome. Please share a little bit about yourself and what brought you to the rare disease community to begin with.
Hi, Tracy. Thank you so much for having me on here today. So I guess we'll start with how we became involved with the rare disease community. And actually, Eden had been involved with it years before me because of some family history there that we later found out was rare conditions with her grandfather and then her dad. But what really flung us headlong into it was in 2009, Eden gave birth to a beautiful little girl. Her name was Cambria. And she came out, she was the biggest of our four babies, but she was, you know, kind of jaundiced, and we did in for a lot of blood work and stuff. But at about 4 months of age, she had a crash. She had a crisis moment. She almost died. And we were able to get her to the hospital. And when we got her to the hospital, her blood sugars were 23. And we didn't know what was going on. And, you know, normal blood sugar range is like between 90 and 110. So that's kind of give you an idea of where that crisis moment happens at. But she was getting very low, so low that she was either going to go into shock, or she was going to have brain damage. There was just a number. She was just right on that cusp. And we were fortunate that we got her in that time. We spent a week at Children's Mercy Hospital in Kansas City in the NICU. And at the end of that, she almost died in the NICU as well. She came very close again. But at the end of that week, we left the hospital and had no idea still yet what was happening. They didn't call it a rare disorder. They didn't call it a rare disease. They came up with a really fancy name called panhypopituitarism. And we had no idea what that was. It wasn't on any of the papers they gave us. And we also was told that she had another condition called secondary adrenal insufficiency that is caused by her body not producing cortisol, which, you know, happens under stressful moments. Mm-hmm. So what had caused her crash was that she was a growing baby, but like with any other babies, that they want to sleep a little bit longer through the night if they don't wake up and want to be fed. And so her, she did. She slept through the night. And by the time the morning got there, her blood sugars had fallen so low because her body wasn't telling herself to produce glycogen to offset you know, what the pancreas was kicking out in insulin. So that began our journey. And, you know, I still remember, and Eden talks about it a lot. She's like, I mean, I was clueless. I had no idea what was going on. And I was there when they told us about it, just right there with her. But when she said, if I can remember Peter Pan, I'll be able to go home and I'll be able to research it. And you have to remember, 2009, smartphones had just been out for a couple of years. Internet was just beginning to grow, but we had no organizations. We had no idea how to treat this. They told us that the instructions that we had was just take your baby home, wake her up every hour and a half to 2 hours, and give her apple juice laced with cornstarch, and that'll keep her blood sugars level until we can get you on growth hormone and we can get you on some cortisol. And that's going to take a while because insurance isn't going to be happy that you're going to be going on human growth hormone. And they were right about that. So we were setting like 3 alarm clocks. We were getting up, we would take shifts and turns. And so that began our journey into this whole process. Well, we quickly discovered that how that led to the MyRare ID portion, Eden was like, we have to do something about this. And we found out that we needed to carry in, for us, an emergency injection of Solu-Cortef, which is basically liquid cortisol, that if Cambria were to break a bone, or she were to be in an accident, or she has the flu and becomes dehydrated, then we need to give her this injection in order to save her life, okay? And we have about, from the time with the onset of the crisis, we have about 45 minutes before she becomes really, really critical. So we began to look into, well, okay, so if we're in an accident and we're hurt, what happens? And we found out that Solu-Cortef, while it's not an expensive drug, is not something that's used a lot. And because there's only so much room on the trucks or ambulances or even on the ER floor, they don't stock it because they just don't use it that often. So in the situation of an emergency, the EMS would not have her injection. And if they didn't know about it, and even if they did know about it, they weren't allowed to give it. So if we were hurt or incapacitated or had died in the accident, then Cambria would have no one there to figure out what was going on in that moment. So it circled back around to, what do we do about that? How do we notify people about it? And we tried raising awareness with EMS in Kansas and Missouri. Before we left, Missouri had adopted that EMS could give patient carried meds like a deep muscle injection. But in Kansas, it still wasn't that way. So we had to come up with a way to do this. So back in about 2015, Eden's like, QR codes are really big. We have a company that we host, websites and we host resources. Why don't we do this ourselves? And so we did. And we had a QR code based card that we printed up. It had Cambria's picture on it. It had some information on it, but you could scan it with any smart device and it would take you out to a website. And back then we called it MobiMed QR. And it would take you out to a website. You entered a 4-digit PIN and voila, there was her profile. And it had what her condition was. It had a picture of her. It had, this is how you administer an injection. And more importantly, it had a list of her updated protocols that came directly from her doctor that we were able to scan and upload directly into her profile. And that became very critical because shortly after that time, Cambria had another crisis. And this one was the flu. She was vomiting. We couldn't get her to stop. She became very dehydrated. We called the on-call doctor. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. We called the on-call doctor. He said, get her to the ER. I'll call ahead. Which ER are you going to? So we walk in. I didn't go. I stayed home with the other kids. Eden took Cambria. We go to the ER. She goes to the ER. She beat the doctor calling the ER to let him know. And so they're giving her a hard time at the front desk about checking her in, and Cambria collapses in the waiting room. She just collapses. So they rush her back. They get her in a bay, and the doctor comes in and he goes, I understand that we have a situation here with a rare disease patient. And she said, that's right. She needs Solu-Cortef. And he's like, well, we have a problem. He goes, our computer systems are down for maintenance and they're going to be down for the next hour. So he said, I have no way of accessing her protocol and I can't get a hold of her doctor to find out what that protocol is. So Eden had the patient carried meds on her. It was in a vial that we carry. It had a syringe and everything. She scans the QR code. She pulls up the protocol. She hands her phone to the doctor and she goes, here's the protocol directly from your doctor here at the hospital. Can you use that? He reads it. He's like, okay. He said, I need her medication. He checks the prescription. The prescription's valid. He buzzes the nurse, brings her in. He says, you need to give this little girl this injection. let's get her on a Dex-10 IV drip and let's get her stable. And it saved her life. Right. And that was it. That was the moment, because that was the time that the MobiMed QR, which became my rare ID, field tested live in our own family, and it worked.
Right.
So from that point, we continue to go on and just continue to push it to people. And then when we moved during the pandemic and we got out here to Duke, we rebranded the MobiMed QR to the My Rare ID. Mm-hmm. And technology had, of course, improved. Speeds on the internet have improved. You know, now you've got 5G on so many phones and devices. So now the profile is very similar to the same. The concept is the same. You scan a flow code. You enter a secure PIN on a site. It pulls up that patient profile. And the My Rare ID profile is not a complete medical record. It is an emergency medical record. But it doesn't matter where you're at. Doesn't matter who scans it. As long as, you know, if they're there to try to help you. And you can embed video. You can embed those protocols. It's got doctor information. It has, you know, what their emergency treatment plan is. It has things like don't do this. I had a family that is part of this that I'll tell you that because of her daughter's rare condition, it's very bad to give her oxygen. And the EMTs didn't know that. And she had a crisis, was having trouble breathing. Well, what's the first thing you would think to do? Well, she needs oxygen. And her mom comes in, she's like, oh my gosh, you guys got to take this off of her. Her body is not absorbing the oxygen. It's actually creating extra CO2. And, you know, and it was really, really bad. But she comments, she goes, if I would have had this card and I would have been able to scan the profile to it, I would have been able to have, you know, saved her a lot of grief and pain and suffering to go down that line. So in addition to the card, we do also offer waterproof stickers. We have them on our cars. I have a friend that joined up with this that he's like, I'm putting this on my bedroom window. If EMTs have to come through my bedroom window, they're going to see it. We have placards to go on like front doors or next to the front door. We have keychain rings that can go on backpacks or your key rings that are, you know, easy accessible. It's got the code on it too that you can scan and pull it up. So, you know, I can tell you that the product has saved our daughter's life, you know, what we do with it. And it's not for just if you're traveling or that you're out and away. You know, I'll give you another example just real quick is that, like, right here, we had a guy tell us that there's a couple of counties that the county lines are very close. And if you have an accident or you have a crisis, those two counties fight over who gets to come and get you or not. Mm-hmm. And this gentleman who just shared some information with us today, he's like, my daughter had a seizure and it took him 6-7 minutes to figure out which ambulance was going to come. And 6-7 minutes is an eternity if you can't breathe. So what we see as My Rare ID is not just about, I had somebody tell me, they said, well, I'm not going to be traveling. That's okay. But you're in your car, you know, and if something happens that you're incapacitated and your child's not, are they going to be able to advocate for themselves? And so this is a tool to use for that. And it's a magnificent tool. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit about how My Rare ID came to be and our story behind it. And, we're very fortunate that Cambria, you know, Cambria carries one, whether she carries her own emergency injection to school. Mm-hmm. And all of the school faculty know about it. They know that they can scan her her little key ring and get that information. The nurses know about it. They know where to look for her injection because of that. So a very powerful thing for rare disease patient to be able to have and to be able to have access to.
Right. I totally agree with you. You mentioned when they scan that QR code that they type in a 4-digit code. Is that something that's visible, the 4-digit code as well?
Yes. So when it goes out, it'll say, you know, enter your PIN number. Well, the PIN number is available on the card.
Okay.
So somebody just randomly going out, if they would happen to access the profile, which they shouldn't be able to, but you know, anything's on the internet, but they have to have that PIN number. Well, if you're an EMT or an emergency room doctor or a grandparent, or then you're not going to have that code memorized. You're not going to know what it is. So it is on the ID card or the sticker. And the record that pops up is a read-only copy. It cannot be edited from accessing it that way. And again, it's only emergency information that you're putting out there. So it is up to the patient what they put out there, but mm-hmm. it is password protected. So we use kind of a two-factor authentication to be able to access it that way.
Okay. And on a subscription, is this a monthly subscription that families pay? Is it a yearly subscription?
It is an annual subscription. We don't do month to month. And I realize that sometimes up front does cost a little bit more. But if you're having trouble with that, just reach out to us. We'll figure we can work with you on those subscriptions. And we have different levels of subscriptions too. So. Okay. You know, if you're not able to do the full subscription, we can work with you on. I mean, our main goal is to try and make sure that you have better peace of mind. And you know, we do have to charge something for it because we have materials mm-hmm. and we have services, but we're not out to we're just out trying to help people have a little bit more peace of mind in their life, be able to sleep better at night, or send their kids to a birthday party.
Right. I was looking over here at my list of questions that families have asked us. What makes My Rare ID different from other medical alert products out there?
That is a great question. So a couple of things. One is that we use different forms of identification. There are very few IDs. There are some that are out there that have the patient's picture printed on them. Mm-hmm. So you're able to do a visual recognition, you know, and you're able to model. The other thing is that we see as different is what we like to call physician education. So, or EMT education, or just education, period. So one of the things that we include in the profile is that, let's say that you're a CDH patient, okay? We would actually include information about CDH in the profile, so that if a medical professional doesn't have to go and Google it, if they've never seen it before. And this did happen to a family that had another disorder. They ended up going to an ER. It was in a small rural hospital, and they had never seen anything like that. And so they're actually going out and Googling stuff to try to figure out what it was. What is this syndrome that they have, and how do we treat it? And, you know, the mom is standing there going, this is what you need to do. Well, if they pull up the profile, right, directly from within the profile, that information is listed in the profile. White papers, links that are approved by, say, a nonprofit like the CDHI, that would link out to resources that can educate that physician in a matter of minutes. And instead of Googling and you get 100,000 hits and you hope that the top one is the most accurate. So those two things are very unique, we feel, with what the MyRareID offers. And that patient, physician, caregiver education component is a big, big thing.
That's very neat. I live in a small rural town out here in Wyoming, and not many do hear about CDH, and we have to take Ian to the ER. Oftentimes they don't know what CDH is. So that's a very good resource that's available to us through My Rare ID.
Yes, it is.
See what other questions we had here. I looked at said that My Rare ID only has a physical card, stickers, and are there QR codes available on other items? And you mentioned that there was other items available there in the interview. And do you have bracelets? Is that something that's available to patients?
Not yet. So we are working on the bracelets. The main challenge that we're having with the bracelet is getting the code. The bracelets are pretty small, so we have to have the right kind of printer to print the code on the bracelet. And then there's the different type of bracelets that we're experimenting with now. Are we going to go with more of a like a rubberized bracelet and use some kind of an ink print on it? Our preference, I think, would be to go with some kind of medical or metal bracelet that has the flow code on it and that can be scanned. So we're working on that. We're probably still, 60 days out from that being available. I think we have listed on the websites coming this fall. So we're getting close, and it is something we're working on. But we are, right now what we have available is we have stickers, we have cards, we have keychains. So those are the three items, the three big items that we have. But I think, coming later this fall, and even into next year, we will have the bracelets, and we will have also a necklace pendant if you wanted to have it. Again, there, you're not going to have a whole lot of information on it other than scan the flow code and a PIN number that's on the back of it. But, it will get them access to the profile.
That's what I was thinking. My young adult, he's 18, I think a bracelet would be a great idea for him to be on himself because he's out by himself. And if he was ever in a car accident or anything like that.
Right. Yeah. So that is going to be something that we are working on very quickly to try to get implemented sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, I think what you have shared today about My Rare ID is very important for our rare disease community. And I thank you very much for sharing more about My Rare ID and answering questions. And we look forward to working with you and moving forward.
Well, thank you so much for having me on today. We really appreciate the opportunity. And if anyone has any questions, they can just reach out and contact us.
That's wonderful. And we'll put the link in the interview there in the podcast for anybody that wants to go out and look at My Rare ID and sign up or look around and shop. We'll make that available to our members.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much to Jeff Lord from My Rare ID. And thank you so much to Tracy Meets, head of our support team, and also our host here, who are interviewing hosts for CDH Radio. She does a phenomenal job with every show, and we're so grateful to Tracy for all that she does. And we look forward to welcoming you back next week to the CDH Radio Show. Again, I'm Dawn Ireland, president and founder of CDH International. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
This is my fight song. Take back my life.